Thank you for downloading the Walking on Air podcast. Before I begin, I would like to thank the three fantastic sponsors of this podcast. Where are you going on holiday this year? Will you be exploring the mysterious moorlands of Dartmoor or the lovely lakes of the Lake District? Perhaps you would like an adventure in Andalusia or an autumnal wine walk in Sicily or Spain. Do you want to return to the roots of Nordic walking and have a go at cross-country skiing in Norway? Or are you looking for a challenge walk somewhere further afield in Africa, India or Canada? You can find holidays to all these incredible destinations and many more at walkingwomen.com. Local women guides provide in-depth knowledge of each area and will encourage you to walk a little longer and walk a little higher. Use the discount code WOA23 to get a £50 discount off your next walking holiday. Walking Women take care of the organisation so you can take care of yourself. The next sponsor is the go-to supplier of brilliant Nordic walking poles. NordicWalk.store is the leading independent online retailer of quality Nordic walking poles in the UK. Always warm and friendly, I can vouch for the fact that you will get excellent customer service in their capable hands. NordicWalk.store will deliver Leckie and XL poles the next day anywhere in the UK. And if you need advice about which pole is right for you, then contact Paula, who is always happy to help answer your questions. And finally, have you ever considered turning an activity you love into your actual job? If you enjoy being outdoors, meeting new people and staying fit, why not train to become an instructor yourself? British Nordic Walking offers internationally recognised high-quality instructor courses and provides amazing ongoing support for its instructor network. If this sounds tempting, then you can book an instructor training course with a £25 discount if you visit www.britishnordicwalking.org.uk. Click on the Train With Us tab and book using the discount code WALKING23. I trained with British Nordic Walking back in 2014 and it provided me with all the information I needed to start teaching and gave me the confidence to set up as an instructor on my own. As a British Nordic Walking instructor, you too will benefit from ongoing support from the community and CPD opportunities to enhance your own knowledge. Further details, discount codes and links to the sponsors' websites can be found in the show notes. Welcome back to the new series of the Walking on Air podcast. I hope that you have enjoyed the summer and managed to fit in some wonderful Nordic walks, perhaps in a location away from home. I'm Mary Tweed, an instructor with British Nordic Walking, and in series 2 I will be discussing various topics with Nordic walkers who are experts in particular fields, covering topics as diverse as osteoarthritis and weight loss, to the menopause and different Nordic walking pole brands, to name just a few. Thank you to all the listeners who have been in touch over the summer with feedback and suggestions, and particularly to those wonderful people, you know who you are, who have kindly made a small donation by clicking on the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. This helps cover the production cost of this podcast and enables me to continue producing these episodes. I have a great episode to kick off series 2. It is longer than usual, but it is jam-packed with such brilliant information that I didn't want to cut it down. In this episode, I interview the main importers and distributors of the two top Nordic walking pole brands in the UK. In the XL corner, we have Karen Ingram, who regular listeners will remember from episode 4, in which she spoke on the subject of back pain. Karen is the co-founder of NordicWalk.store, which sells both XL and Leckie poles. Karen has been distributing XL poles throughout the UK since 2006. Putting the case forward for Leckie is Lillian Sullivan, who started in the outdoor industry in 1977 and worked in retail management for 16 years. She then moved to the supplier side of the industry in 1992 and for the last 19 years has worked for Ard Blair Sports Importers Limited, the UK distributors for Leckie for over 30 years, where she is the sales director and also looks after brands including Leckie and Aku Footwear. She herself has always been an active outdoors person, having rock climbed, skied, biked and walked in many countries. Welcome to Walking on Air, Lillian, and welcome back, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, Karen, good morning.
I want to start by just quickly asking Karen how your Back Hero programme is doing.
Yeah, it's doing really well, actually. I've run a few of my pain lecture series now. I actually had a wonderful letter from someone yesterday, actually, who was really sceptical about the whole process and the whole biology of pain. And she wrote to me to tell me that she's now on only 25% of her previous pain medication just from listening to the lectures. So I was absolutely delighted from that. So and I've gone back to school. So I am now studying at the University of South Australia. Sadly, not physically there, but one of the wonderful things about modern Zoom. So I'm doing a postgraduate course in pain science and pain education, which is fascinating. So yeah, even more information to put into the Back Hero program. So yeah, it's all going great.
Well, what a fabulous result from your participant, and really good luck in your studies. That's great news.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start by asking the number one question that I get asked all the time by new participants. What is the difference between a Nordic walking pole and a trekking pole? And why can't I use trekking poles in a class? Karen, would you like to start off with that one?
Well, I'm just going to give the real simple answer that Nordic walking with a trekking pole is a bit like trying to play tennis with a badminton racket. So you could do it, but it probably wouldn't be the best game of your life. So yeah, there really are very, very different bits of kit, really. Lecky sell both. And so I'm going to suggest that Lillian maybe tells us a little bit more about the technical side of why they are really different.
That would be great. Lillian, could you add to that, please?
Yeah, surely. The main difference with the trekking pole, it's a larger circumference grip, tend to be flatter on the top, because obviously when you're walking in the mountains, most people are using them for stability rather than speed and propulsion. The trekking pole gives a variation on gripping technique, so you can hold the grip, or you can rest on the top of the grip, depending where you're going in your walk, whether you're going up, going down. With a Nordic walking pole, it's very pointy on the top, so it's not designed for you to rest your hands on the top of the pole. It's also much thinner. If you were to go trekking on long distances with a Nordic walking pole, unless you were using strap properly, which a lot of people don't if they're trekking, sometimes they actually overgrip. They don't need to hold the grip. The strap takes the strain. But with a trekking pole, because they're bigger, it's more comfortable. With a Nordic walking grip, it's much, much smaller. And it's designed that your hand should release from the pole and then come back. If you're just holding a Nordic walking grip tightly for a long time, it can restrict your blood flow. It's not designed to be held like that. You'd also end up with very tired hands. I think you'd agree with that, Karen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good way to think about it. I'd not thought about the difference in the diameter of the grip. But yes, and I think the only thing I would add to that is possibly, I mean, again, it depends on the quality of the trekking pole or the Nordic walking pole, but the swing weight of the pole. Nordic walking poles are designed that there's that kind of moment of flight where, you know, you throw the pole away and it comes and it almost flies forwards. The swing weight and the balance of the pole is actually quite important.
Oh, it's very, very different. I agree.
Yeah. Whereas in trekking, because they tend to be used much more vertically, the way that the force and the weight distribution of the pole is just really different. Really different. Yeah.
It is very different. And I think the thing with a Nordic walking pole, when you push the pole away, the strap keeps the pole where you need it to be for when it comes forward. A trekking strap isn't designed to do that. So if you push the pole behind you, one, you get blocked at your hip because you can't let go completely. And the other thing is the pole would just drop down. It wouldn't be where you need it to be.
No.
They're designed for different things.
And Lillian, I want to ask you what materials the poles are made of and how the actual material affects the performance.
Well, certainly with Leckie, we use either aluminium, and that's an aircraft grade aluminium. So it's designed to balance strength with flexibility. And that's done, if I can be a little bit technical, it's done through the heat treating process. And there are various grades of that. So the lowest we would use is one that would have the number 5. And that goes up then to 6 and to 6.5. And the higher the number, the better the quality of the aluminium, the strength to flex ratio. So mostly the lower cost poles are aluminium. And then we use carbon and carbon composite. And the composite can be usually a fiberglass type mix within it. Leckie always give the percentage that's used within the number. So if it's say PRC 850, that would be an 85% carbon pole. Obviously, the higher percentage of carbon, the higher the cost. The lower the percentage, the lower the cost. And it's really important to know that a lot of cheap companies don't give a percentage and they'll say it's a carbon pole, where in fact it can be as little as 30% carbon. So it's not really a carbon pole. Aluminium is very durable. So from a Nordic walking perspective, it's obviously lower cost, but it's heavier. And the swing weight isn't as nice as on a carbon pole, but it's a cost thing. It's also, if people are not particularly bothered about looking after their equipment and they tend to throw them in the boot and throw things on top of them, aluminium is much more durable. A carbon pole has a beautiful swing weight normally because it's lighter. It has very good strength to stiffness ratio, especially for the weight. It has good shock absorption as well, depending on what your budget is, what you want to use a pole for. You have the option of going from aluminium all the way through to 100% carbon. And Karen, would you like to add to that? Because obviously you have poles.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add to that was, I mean, obviously XL poles, it's the same story. We actually don't tend to sell them so much in the UK. We focus more on the carbon poles and we do them in a range of carbon fibers. And as Lillian says, you do need to be a little bit careful of some of the budget pole brands that just say, oh, it's carbon, and they don't declare the percentage. And also there is carbon and carbon, and the way that it's rolled, the way that it's heat treated or not heat treated can make a huge difference to whether it degrades over time or, you know, lasts. And it's something to be a little bit careful of. I like Lillian's point about durability, because carbon is a glass. So whilst you could say, oh, 100% carbon pole is the thing to have, I walk with 100% carbon poles, I love them, but you can't just chuck them about. You have got to then look after them. So if you did drop it on a sharp stone edge, you know, you could damage the carbon because it is a glass. So sometimes the mix of materials, so say an 80% carbon pole that has some fiberglass in it, whilst you compromise a little bit on swing weight and shock absorbency, it will possibly be more durable because the fiberglass helps to make the pole less fragile, I guess, in some ways. But from a Nordic walking instructor's point of view, I think the thing that your listeners need to really think about when they're choosing a pole and they're looking at their budget is there's a few questions to ask themselves. What surface do I predominantly walk on? So if you nearly always walk off-road, or I had someone the other day who said, oh, I only ever walk on the beach. Well, then you could say, well, look, save your money and buy lower carbon poles, because sand is very, very forgiving and you won't get a lot of vibration. So the more carbon you have, the less your pole will vibrate, because carbon is a natural dampener. So it absorbs shock. Okay. If someone said to me, oh, I only ever walk in urban environments and I'm walking on hard surfaces, then I would say get as much carbon as you can afford, because you're going to get a lot more vibration up through the pole. If someone's very serious about their performance, then carbon is very stiff. So all the backward force that you push down and back through the pole in 100% carbon pole is transferred into forward propulsion. Whereas in a lower carbon pole or aluminium, there's that flex. And so that then actually absorbs some of that forward propulsion and you lose it a little bit. So that there's that to be considered. And so you then do need to think about the strength of the pole in terms of your weight and your height. The only other factor really to think about is injury. So there are some conditions where you really don't want vibration going up your arm. So one example of that would be if you're at risk of lymphedema, I would always recommend to someone in that situation to get as much carbon as they can afford so that the pole is absorbing vibration and you're not getting vibration in your arm. So yeah, there's quite a few technical things to think about, more than you might think.
On the note of things that people should think about when buying the pole, most people's first question is, what length pole should I get? So please, could you just answer that for us, Karen, as to how people...
Yeah, so if I had the listener here in front of me now, the simplest, and I had a range of different sizes, I could just get them to stand upright, hold the pole where they would be strapped in, and I would be looking for their elbow to be slightly more than 90 degrees. So their forearm would be slightly sloping down towards the floor. Roughly your pole is about 2/3 of your height. So another way to do it is to take your height in centimeters, multiply it by 0.68 and then round it down to the nearest 5 centimeters. So most poles come in 5 centimeter increments. And even if you use an adjustable pole, we would normally recommend you adjust, you know, adjust it to the nearest 5 centimeter increment. So that's how you would estimate it. But there are other factors that affect it. So some are to do with body proportion. So if someone's height is very much in their legs, then they may well have a longer stride length than someone of the same height. And if their stride length is long, they will need a slightly longer pole. And the opposite is obviously true as well. Actually, tall men often end up having poles a lot shorter than they would by that formula, because they've never historically through their life used their whole stride length. I've taught men who are 6'4", and with their legs, if they really strode out, you know, they might need 130, 135 centimeter pole, but they're very comfortable with 125 centimeter pole because they don't use their full length of their legs, if that makes sense. And some women have a quick cadence, so number of steps per minute, but a short stride, maybe because they've always worn a pencil skirt, I don't know, or maybe because just that's kind of like they've been raised to not stride out, and so they would use a shorter pole. The only other thing, again, if someone's got a condition that restricts the movement in their hips, maybe arthritis, that might make their pole length shorter as well.
And would you recommend, this is for either Lillian or for Karen, would you recommend fixed length, adjustable or foldable poles?
Oh, good question. I'll go second.
I'll say that's also for courses. I think if people are travelling a lot, especially if they're going abroad, then a folding pole is a great option. Again, if it's a very urban person who maybe wants to walk into work with their poles and then put their poles in the bag for the day, they may be on public transport for part of that, folding poles are always a great option. I think adjustable poles, especially if you've got members of a family that want to share poles, it gives them the option to move poles amongst themselves and share them around. It's also good, I think, if people aren't sure, especially if they're not going on Nordic walking courses, they're just maybe walking themselves, it gives them the option to learn what pole length they really need as they improve or as they change what they're doing. If their stride improves, then, you know, it gives them the option of adjusting the pole a little bit. As you get better, full length pole is a great thing to have because it's the best swing weight. It's usually lighter, there's nothing to go wrong. So you have the option. I think the other thing from an instructor's point of view, it's always worth having some adjustable poles. Otherwise, you have to know exactly how many people you've got coming, what length poles you want. If you've a few adjustable poles in your bag, you can always adapt for somebody if you suddenly find that you've run out of 115s.
I would definitely second that.
More instructing, so.
And Karen, have you got anything to add? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely agree with all of that. The only thing I would add is INWA, the International Nordic Walking Federation, recommends a fixed length pole for all the reasons that Lillian just said. So if you take the sport in its purest form and you're going out and you know, it's all about the Nordic walking, a fixed length pole, it's lighter, it's stiffer, it's all the technology's gone into the shaft, you're not paying for adjustable mechanisms and all that kind of stuff. So your budget tends to go a little bit further with a fixed pole because it's just kind of going into the carbon shaft, really. So a fixed length pole is the ideal for the sport. But as Lillian said, you know, because of life and your lifestyle and what you do, an adjustable pole may well be good. I would just wave my little flag for fixed length poles for teaching bags, only because 70% of people walk with a 110 or a 115 pole. Okay. And I've been an instructor since 2006, and I've always had a bag of fixed length poles. And I don't think I've ever not been able to accommodate everyone. I have a big lump of 110s, 115s, and then I have a few 105s and a few 120s. And it's normally enough for people to kind of, you know, get going and experience it. And then they can really get down to the pole that they need when they buy them. But yeah, I do now also have a couple of adjustables in my bag. But yeah, I do love the simplicity of a fixed length pole. I also have some foldable travel poles as well, but
if people are getting adjustable poles, they need to buy the best that they can.
Yes,
because the locking mechanisms vary greatly. Leckie have the strongest locking mechanisms, in as much as if you have a straight downward force, their twist lock, which is always the old super locking system, it was the SLS, that will hold 140 kilograms.
Mm-hmm.
Their speed locks hold 100 kilograms, and even their weakest speed lock pole, the original speed lock one, holds 80 kilograms. For a lot of cheap brands, you'll find that you do those poles up, and if you push down on them, they'll actually slip. You certainly don't want that when you're walking.
No.
So it does pay to understand locking mechanisms and get some advice when you're buying. I can say, if you buy Leckie adjustable poles, you can just rest assured that they will do the job you need them to do. Obviously, if you're in a sporting situation, a fixed length pole will always be best.
And I want to just add to that a little bit as well, is some people make the mistake with adjustable poles. There's two types. So you have a two-piece adjustable pole, which is only designed for sharing. So for people, if you need to change the height of your pole, it's no good for travel. It doesn't pack down small enough. If you want to be able to do the things that Lillian said, like walk to work, chuck it in your bag, go on a plane and put it in your hold luggage, or you know, fold it up and put it in a rucksack, you must buy a three-piece adjustable pole. I would never buy a cheap one because it's just going to be grim and clunky and heavy. So on our website, nordicwalk.store, we stock both XL and Leckie adjustable poles, the travel ones, the three-piece travel ones, and we only stock the 100% carbon because, yeah, they're not cheap, but you know that you're getting a really good quality pole. Leckie's lock mechanisms are brilliant, and you know that it's not going to fail you. And I have had this with people who've Nordic walked, and they've bought cheap adjustable poles, and you know, particularly some of the warm-ups, you know, like if you're doing squats or things like that, and they put a lot of weight through the pole, and the pole has given, and it's really dangerous. And the other thing that can happen if you don't lock them correctly is when people then put their paw on and they go to twist the paw to line it up to be the correct way around, if they unwittingly loosen, if it's a twist lock and they loosen it, then they go to use it and the pole can collapse. So again, it's another why pit locks are better in that sense.
Yeah, I would agree. Visible technology is great. You can see what's going on. One of the things we've always said to anybody using any form of twist pole, be it Leckie or anybody else, if you're using a twist pole, when you stop for lunch or you stop to have some water, just check, because as you walk, even with a trekking pole, you have a natural twist in your wrist sometimes, and you're getting that pole into sometimes into soft ground, and as you're moving, you can untwist it slightly. And if you think of that over however many steps you're doing, it is possible. With the Leckie, we have a full 360 reverse turn technology. So if you've tightened your poles, you can actually unlock them a full 360 before they slip. No other pole will do that for you. So you do actually need to just give them a little, it takes you a second or two just to give them a little twist to tighten.
So, Karen, I want to ask you what the leading brands on the market are, and how did they come about, and what are the main differences between them?
Good question. We used to have a retail store on a high street, Barefoot Studio, and now we're online with NordicWalk.store. And we've actually selected the two brands, XL and Leckie, as our two brands that we retail for Nordic walking. In our opinion, nothing else comes close to the quality of both of them. And I'm sure Lillian will want to add to this, but to me, they kind of come from slightly two different places. XL's history, XL has been around since the 60s. And actually, this is a very good fact if you're ever in a Nordic walking pub quiz. So you ought to write this down, that XL, it was set up by some chemists, three chemists, and they were originally making explosive caps for, they were electronic detonators for explosives. So that's where the XL came from. It was explosive something or others. I don't know. But anyway, somewhere along that line, they were involved in carbon and all these sorts of different things. And they started to make poles. And originally, very much, because it's a Finnish company, and they're originally very much into the Finnish winter sports. So particularly cross country, and then more latterly into downhill. But XL were actually the originators of the sport of Nordic walking, and they designed the very first Nordic walking pole in the 90s. In 1997 was when the very first pole was actually made specific to the sport. So they actually kind of looked at people Nordic walking, and they started to think, well, maybe the pole should be angled. What should the grip and strap system be like? They took some of that from cross country and tweaked it a little bit. They did some science around what would be the correct lengths of poles, because obviously cross country ski poles are, they're actually measured to the top of your shoulder, so they're a lot longer. Alpine skis tend to be a little bit shorter. So they were working at the time with the Finnish, some Finnish sporting organisations. And then XL sat down and said, right, well, we need a name for this thing that we've just created, this pole. What are we going to call it? And they actually came up with the term Nordic Walker. And that was where the term Nordic walking first came from. XL, often they say they made the original Nordic walking pole. But XL's history, for me, is very much their knowledge and their expertise is very much in the fixed length side of the market. They do now sell adjustable poles, and they're very interested in the whole rolled carbon technology and really getting that very right. So that for me is their bag. Leckie, obviously they've got a big Alpine heritage as well, much more expertise in the trekking field. That's again, it's something that XL has dabbled in, but it's not their main thing, but absolutely something that Leckie excel in. I didn't mean to say that. Leckie do well in is trekking very much. And so you can see why they have the adjustable, very much in terms of adjustable Nordic walking poles. Leckie has nailed it really with their things like their folding poles and their specialist clip lock systems, which have been tried and tested through trekking over, decades. And so they've brought that knowledge and expertise to Nordic walking, whereas XL have brought more of the fixed length knowledge and expertise to Nordic walking. More and more now, they meet in the middle. Yeah, I don't know if Lillian would add to that.
Yeah, actually, we came in through skiing way back in 1948 with Alpine, because Karl Lenhardt, who developed Leckie, he was a very, very keen skier. And in those days it was big heavy wooden poles that people were using, and he was actually an aircraft engineer working with alloys and decided, you know, there had to be a better way. So he started developing grips and baskets, has many patents going all the way back then to innovations that he developed for ski poles. And then in 1960, Leckie went into mass production of ski poles. And if you ever watch the Alpine Olympics, you'll see Leckie on so many of the Alpine poles. And he was the first to make aluminium alloy ski poles. And it wasn't actually until 1974 that they started making trekking poles after a collaboration with Reinhold Messner, who was getting ready for Everest. So I would say as Excel, to me, I always think of them coming from a sort of cross-country heritage. They brought their expertise from that direction and they created Nordic walking as a sport. Leckie, although they started in Alpine, they developed trekking with poles as a sport. And then when they started making Nordic walking poles in 2002, they obviously used the expertise from the trekking and the walking. So they have come from different directions, but I think they've ended up pretty much alongside each other. You know, both have great expertise. Both have, I mean, with Leckie, it's even to this day, it's very much an engineering company. They have many patents for innovation and things. And as Karen said, when it comes to carbon, they use high modular carbon laid down in lots of directions. So they make sure it's very strong. So yeah, I think the two top companies are definitely Leckie and Excel. They've got there from different directions. Both have lots to offer. They have a different strap system. Leckie has a patented technology for their strap. You can also use a glove instead of a strap. At the end of the day, it's competition, which is good because it drives innovation.
I mean, competition.
You have two very innovative companies that offer a great choice.
Yeah. I was going to say the competition aspect really does push forward innovation. Excel in, I think it was 2008, developed the all-terrain tip, which, you know, was very new to the market and people love that. So that, for those that don't know what that is, it's basically a hinged paw system, which you can adjust with your feet. So you can kick the paw up when you're off-road and put it back down when you're on-road. And then in 2012, they came up with the curve pole, which comes from cross-country skiing, is patented technology that they came up with. And, you know, is increasingly popular, particularly amongst the real kind of serious Nordic walkers who concerned with speed and performance. And it's really interesting because there's been a lot of research done into the curve technology and how it increases forward propulsion, but also increases shock absorbency. Both brands have a really strong heritage and a lot of knowledge behind them.
Can I ask you both what your recommendation would be for a high-end pole, a mid-range pole, and a low-budget pole?
Yeah, well, let's start with our, you know, your wish list of your most loveliest pole ever. If I was choosing an XL pole, it would be a 100% carbon curve. They are just so lovely to walk with. Their swing weight is gorgeous. They fly through the air, almost no perceptible vibration, you know, with an all-terrain tip on the bottom. Or actually, because one of the good things about XL poles, they have a quick lock system so you can change the tips on them. I know a lot of people really enjoy the curve pole with a suspension tip, which is doesn't have a paw, and that's great for racing, so you don't have to take the paw on and off. And then it also decreases the swing weight, so it makes them nice and light. So yeah, I would go for that. Yeah, that would be my dear Father Christmas pole choice. Yeah. And Lily, what would be your top choice?
Well, I'd have to say the Microflash Carbon, which is a folding pole. We sell an awful lot of folding poles, and that is 100% carbon. For a pole that folds, it actually is very stable. It's quite stiff. Obviously, you've got sections, so it's never going to be as stiff as a single pole, but it does have a very nice balanced swing weight. Coming down from that, our most popular is the spin speed lock, which is a two-part adjustable pole. Again, for an aluminium pole, it's a good price. It has a nice swing weight, given that it's a bit heavier. You know, it's never going to be as nice as a fixed length carbon, but for an adjustable pole, it's a really, really nice choice. And then at the bottom end, in terms of budget, strangely enough, it would be a fixed length, 60% carbon pole. And that's called the Passion, because for somebody coming in that wants a fixed length pole, it's fairly durable. It's only 60% carbon, but it's still very light, 167 grams. It's not too bad, you know, and it's still quite nicely balanced. And at £70, it offers a lot for the money. So I think they would be my three choices.
And Karen, do you have a mid-range and a low budget?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go for our best seller, which is our Avanti pole, yeah. Actually, the XL Avanti. And it's 75% carbon, and it retails at £110. So it's not cheap, but actually, you know, most people only ever buy one pair of Nordic walking poles, and then you can get replacement tips and replacement grips, even if you want to, and replacement straps. So as long as you look after the shafts, they should last you a good long time. But it's a really nice carbon level, so that's good. You know, the cheapest pole that we sell, and I'm just going to mention this to shout out to the kids, is our junior pole. Increasingly now, children are really getting into Nordic walking, particularly primary school age. I think that's amazing. There's so much talk at the minute in the Olympics about inspiring the next generation and getting young people moving. And so our junior XL Nordic walking pole retails at £48, so it's really affordable. It's got a blunted tip, so that if children decide to start sword fighting with it, it doesn't become a lethal activity. It's got a simplified grip and strap system, actually deliberately not quick release detachable, so that if they're used in schools, the kids don't all go home with the straps on by mistake and then you end up losing them all. But they've still got carbon in. They are, 20% carbon. So, you know, they're still reasonable quality, but loads of fiberglass so that they don't shatter in a school environment. But I think it's lovely. Leckie also make a children's pole, and I think it's great that we're doing everything that we can to get the youngsters into what is an amazing activity. And it then means that families can walk together, which is anything that's intergenerational is lovely.
You have both used the word durability several times, and I think increasingly consumers are becoming more interested in the environmental impact of their purchases. Please could you tell us a bit about this in relation to your poles?
Everything Leckie do can be recycled in terms of aluminium and everything. They use recycled material when they're making their grips. They use recycled materials for the baskets, everything. They also guarantee to have spares available for up to 10 years because they don't want people, if they break a part of the pole or a section, they don't want them to take them to a landfill and throw them in and then go and buy a new pair of poles. They make it so that the poles can be refurbished and you can just buy the spare and you can keep the poles going for many, many years. And certainly on the trekking side, we're still seeing poles that are 20 and 25 years old that are coming back because somebody loves their poles and they've been lots of places with them and they don't want to get rid of them. And in reality, they probably replaced pretty much every part of that pole over that time. But the great thing is they're still their poles and they can still keep them going and not have to throw them away. And I think that's really important now with the environment the way it is, that people are asking these questions more and more. And even within the factory, Leckie uses heat processes, that the heat off that helps to heat the factory. Mm-hmm. With all of the paints and everything they use, it's done with electricity, and then the filters take any excess away. So there's nothing wasted, everything gets recycled. And I think those sorts of issues are really important now.
Karen, would you like to add anything to that?
No, for me, that's a really important issue. And I think that that's something that all manufacturers need to be working towards. I mean, the only other thing about sustainability is product miles. And we all found this out to our detriment when the Suez Canal got blocked, is the journey of most sports goods, well, an awful lot of goods actually, is, you know, three times around the world and back again. And I think a lot of manufacturers are starting to change that. XL are working towards moving production back to Finland and not having all the various different components made all around the world. And I'm really excited about that because for me, I worry as well. If consumers vote with their feet on that, then that will make manufacturers stick their heads up, even if it's not in their hearts, it will touch them in their wallets. And then hopefully they will go, no, let's look at how we can recycle, reuse, repurpose. And to me, I think a gorgeous pair of poles is one where all the paint's chipped off because they're that old. They've walked a million miles. They could tell you a million stories and they're still going strong. And that's definitely where we need to be taking the Nordic walking market for sure.
Yeah. Like XL, you know, Leki do manufacture in the Czech Republic. So it's absolutely, as Karen says, people are now far more aware of how many miles their products are doing.
Mm. And as a sport, Nordic walking actually has a very low impact on the environment. We're not churning out fake snow. We're not using huge amounts of equipment at all. It is a very environmentally friendly sport. One question that I get asked a lot by people who are signing up to workshops and things is, do I need to buy my own set of poles before I start? And I obviously say no, because as an instructor, I've got a big bag. But at what point would you recommend people think about buying their own set of poles?
In my experience, people tend to buy their own poles fairly quickly. But I would definitely say have enough. You know, every instructor I've ever come across is more than happy to loan poles as part of the package of learning. So that's normally, you know, your lesson includes the ability to use their poles. And I would say have enough lessons that you're pretty sure what length of pole you want. So, you know, make sure you and your instructor are like, yes, you're definitely a 110, or yes, you're definitely a 115. And then you know you're going to be buying the right poles. And you can also know whether you love Nordic walking, you're going to be doing lots of it, therefore you can decide how much money you want to spend. You can have a think about, am I just going to be walking locally? Am I going to be traveling? Therefore, do I want adjustable or do I want fixed? Yeah, have a go with different poles as well. If there's people in your group, this is obviously non-COVID advice now, if there's lots of people in your group with different brands, have a go at different poles, see what you think, talk to people, what do you like and not like about the different poles, before you make that purchase. Yeah, a lot of people, they, as soon as they try Nordic walking, they love it. And then they want to be able to go out and Nordic walk their dog, Nordic walk on the weekend, not just once a week in their group. So most people are pretty keen to get going and buy their own poles.
And what would you recommend for people with health conditions that make it difficult to grip a normal Nordic walking pole?
It's an interesting one. You can actually Nordic walk just really using the strap and
absolutely,
not really gripping the pole at all. So, and I know a few people that do that. It's quite a good, anybody to try this if they know how to Nordic walk, is to Nordic walk not using the grips at all and just to try it purely pushing back through the straps. And if you were doing that, I would definitely choose the pole that has the best fitting, most broadly supportive strap you can. Some of them have, some straps are narrower or broader in the area where you actually put force through. So if you were really relying 100% on your straps, then I'd make sure that they were really nice and wide and broad and comfortable, and that pushing through them a lot is going to be comfortable. For me, this isn't then really Nordic walking, but there are poles on the market that have marketed themselves as Nordic walking poles. There's something called a pacer pole, which has like an ergonomically shaped, it's almost like a kind of a cup that your hand sits in, but you can't really Nordic walk in them with them because there's no strap, so you can't get past the hip. So there's no extension. I know some people do Nordic walk with more of a trekking grip, whereby you've got that, as Lillian said right back at the beginning, that a bigger diameter, and some trekking poles have got more like foamy texture, so it's like a softer. So if it's more to do with grip size, then again, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I always think I'd rather someone whittled their own poles out of a tree and went Nordic walking than said, I can't afford to go Nordic walking. So, you know, get going. But if someone had a grip problem where maybe they had to compromise and use a trekking grip, again, it would mean they couldn't extend. So it would be different. They would only be able to, in the inward 10 steps, get up to number six because they wouldn't be able to really extend back. Yeah. But at least they'd still be out enjoying themselves. And
yeah, and you know, with your background, Karen, you know far more about this than I do. But I think there are also groups of people where they shouldn't be using straps anyway, because if they are walking and they have balance issues, but then that isn't really Nordic walking. But anything we can do to get those people out there walking, be it with a strap or with pacer pole or whatever type of pole, if they're out there, if they're doing exercise, it's got to improve their health. So
absolutely, absolutely.
And finally, I want to ask you both for your top tip on how to walk on air. So Lillian, would you like to kick off, please?
I just think for me, that's just walking in a beautiful place with people I like. It's not about being the fastest. It's not about competition. It's all about being with the people I want to be with in a place I want to be. And I'm very selfish with that. You know, I want to be with the people I want to be with. So, yeah, sorry. And for me, it would be in the mountains.
That's a great answer. There's nothing to apologise for. How about you, Karen?
I have to say, I completely agree with Lillian. Stick me in the Cairngorm Mountains in Scotland with a pair of poles on. I'm a very happy person. But to give a kit answer, I like to look at something even when I'm not able to get out there. If I glance across, actually my Nordic walking poles are right over there in the corner, and I can just look at them and they make me smile. And I love my poles because they're bright orange and fixed length and they're 100% carbon. I do like to have a little bit of kit sometimes that I can just look at and I can think about a walk I've been on. Just looking at the kit makes you smile and maybe takes you back to the Cairngorm Mountains or wherever you've had a lovely walk. But yeah, it is all about getting out there, enjoying it, isn't it? With people you enjoy in a beautiful, stunning environment. And yeah, long may it all continue, I say.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for your answers. And thank you for coming on today. It's been really, really fascinating hearing much more. I've learned so much about the in-depth processes of manufacturing the poles. So thank you very much for sharing your expertise and knowledge with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
There was something for everyone in that conversation, whether you are a beginner, an instructor, or have an interest in pole manufacturing. If you want to take a further look at the poles, please visit nordicwalk.store and also lecky.de. As always, I will put some links in the show notes. I do hope that you enjoyed walking on air, and if you have enjoyed doing so, then I would be extremely grateful if you could spare 30 seconds to like and review this podcast on the platform that you listen on and hit the subscribe button, particularly if you listen on Apple Podcasts. It will help spread the word about Nordic walking and about this podcast. If you have any feedback, suggestions, or a story that you want to share on this podcast, please get in touch by emailing me at hello@walkingonairpodcast.co.uk. Have a great week and happy Nordic walking. And finally, before I go, I would just like to thank this episode's sponsors, British Nordic Walking, nordicwalk.store, and Walking Women. Their support enables our community to share knowledge and learn together.